I'm Heidi Holton with John Latimer.
Funding for student phenology is provided in part by the Minnesota Environment and Natural Resources Trust Fund. Phenology talkbacks are produced by Charlie Mitchell. Our first report this week comes from Julia, one of the staff naturalists at Long Lake Conservation Center. She reported from the Nature Rocks Concert for Conservation last weekend.
My name is Julia. I'm one of the naturalists at Long Lake, and we are here setting up for the Nature Rocks Concert for Conservation at the Aiken County Fairgrounds. The weather looks like it's going to be okay for us, and we're getting all ready to go. The phenology highlight for the week is rain. Lots and lots of rain. There has been a little more than 4.5 inches of rain on some recordings. I dumped 7 inches out of my rain gauge at home, including almost 2 inches in just the last week. The high temperature for the week was 78 and the low was 49. Between raindrops, we observed some interesting things, including a rare Charlie Mitchell sighting. Charlie joined us last Saturday for the Rivers and Lakes Fair. We trekked with her to the bog where we saw pink lady slippers, Labrador tea, and pitcher plants blooming. Some of the pitcher plants were just starting to flower, and some were already about 10 inches high with fully open petals. On the lake, we saw the season's first sundew on the boggy south shore of the lake. Two beavers slapped their tails at us when we were canoeing a little too close. The loons were on their nest last week, but this week they were no longer there. The big storm that blew through might have swamped their eggs. The pair of loons were together and let us get about 10 feet away from them before they swam away. About 3 weeks ago, we reported two families of Canada geese, one with 5 goslings and the other with 2. We haven't seen them since. It's a mystery. Today, a pair arrived on the beach with only 1 large gosling. We don't know if they were new or what's left of the other families. Either way, it was nice to see them. We have seen quite a few monarch caterpillars on the milkweed. Some were almost too tiny to see, and some were a good plump 1 or 2 inches long. The American robins and tree swallows we have been watching have fledged. We watched a large snapping turtle lay her eggs. A few days later, the hole was dug up and the eggs were eaten. We suspect a skunk had a turtle egg omelet. The turtle was one of dozens of snapping and painted turtles that we've seen laying their eggs. It's going to be a great night for the concert. Come on down for sure and see us. And we want you to get outside, unplug, and live connected.
Nice report. Thank you very much for that. It's always good to hear from those folks down at Long Lake. Lots of things going on. Lots of excitement. I saw some loons myself this last week, and they had 2 little chicks. So if they haven't hatched their chicks yet, they are very close. And unfortunately, that high water can be a problem for loons. Loons can't sort of raise their nest once they've got eggs in it and they're brooding. There's really no way for them to, say, move the eggs to the side and then add 6 inches of material and then put the eggs back in the nest. That just doesn't happen. If they get flooded out, that's what happens. And sometimes it's sad, but I've witnessed it. And I guess what happens there is you hope that they come back the next year and are more successful. And the fact that there were 2 young loons on Hatch Lake yesterday gives me hope for the whole population. I think that they will be fine. Our next report comes from that enigma and that mysterious person, Charlie Mitchell herself. And this is Charlie's report.
Hi, Heidi and John. I just wanted to share a story of a troublesome neighbor we ran into this week. On Saturday, my wife Haley walked outside to find a young black bear rummaging through our garbage bin. She yelled at it, and it took off running with a full bag of garbage held in its mouth, kind of like a dog running away with a toy. Haley saw it run down the stairs to the base of the cliff and then kind of head towards the river. And we didn't want this young bear to learn that stealing trash was a viable strategy, and we didn't want it to, you know, spread our trash through the whole valley. So we went down to gather up what trash we could find and bring it back to where it belongs. Of course, the bear had dragged the garbage bag down a gully and into a nice big patch of stinging nettles. Thank you, bear, for that one. And when we got down there, it was still there, you know, tearing the trash apart and eating whatever it could find. So we yelled to scare it off, but it really didn't care much about that. It didn't budge from the trash pile until I physically chased it off. And even then, it didn't go very far and kept coming back to see whether I had left and whether it could go back to eating the trash. So the whole time I was putting the scattered trash back into a new unbroken bag, it was like kind of lingering around and watching what I was doing. It was a young bear, so it was quite curious, but not at all aggressive. It just kind of was clearly hoping I would leave and just let it eat the trash. But I didn't want it to learn that lesson. So we've since secured the garbage bin back in the garage where the bear can't eat it. But on a walk today, Haley spotted it raiding a neighbor's trash can. So this is everyone's reminder that the yearling bears have just left hanging out with their mom and are out exploring the world on their own. It's really important for their survival that they find enough food. And of course, they are going to be exploring new really good seeming food options like our trash cans and bird feeders. So do better than we did. Keep your trash inside where the bears can't get it. Keep an eye on your suet feeders, and yeah, let's keep those bears as wild as they can be. I hope you guys are having a good morning. Bye-bye.
Thanks, Charlie. Sorry about your events with the bear. I have a bear that comes regularly to my house and cleans off my bird feeder every night. Luckily for me, it's tall enough that it can clean off the feeder without wrecking it. So it just cleans up all the seeds off the feeder, including all of the shells. And in the morning, when I find an absolutely pristine feeder, I know that the bear has been there and fed overnight. The bear doesn't bother my garbage. And part of the reason for that is I don't throw anything organic in the trash. If it is something of food value, I put it in my compost. If it's a plastic bag or something that held food, I clean the bag and then I put it in the garbage. I keep my trash really clean and they don't bother it. It sits out and they just don't go for it. But that could change if I probably offered them more of a reason to go after it. So. It's, as Charlie said, you know, secure your trash, keep it out of their way, allow them to resist the temptation to come and feed at your house if possible. Our last report comes from Kathleen. Actually, it's not our last report. I'm lying. It is a report from Kathleen in Brainerd, who said this week, I was out checking the milkweed I planted 2 or 3 years ago in the corner of my Brainerd yard. It has taken off. Many caterpillars and even more blossoms, skinny caterpillars in the morning are fatties tonight. Looking forward to the chrysalises. And I saw some examples of herbivory, that is caterpillars eating leaves on milkweed plants, and investigated, and I found caterpillars as well. This will be the second generation. Not a lot of monarchs around right now. This generation of butterflies will emerge probably around the first part of, well, we're at the first part of July. Somewhere in July, they will emerge, and then they will go through this whole process of laying eggs, and the caterpillars from that group will be becoming the butterflies that will fly to Mexico. So there are two generations that are born here in the summer, and you will be able to check that out very soon. You'll start seeing some beautiful, fresh-looking monarch butterflies flying around. And from a good friend, Carol, who lives over in Eveleth, she sent this note. So over the weekend, I was out doing some gardening when I heard what sounded like a sort of croaking sound. I've never heard anything quite like it before. I thought it might be a bird. After a couple of minutes, I thought I'd record it, which I did for maybe a minute as I followed the sounds toward its source. And then, under some plants in the midst of some leaves, I saw that a snake had half of a frog sticking out of its mouth and was in the process of swallowing it. I left them alone, and the croaking continued for a bit longer. Later, I saw a snake whiz by. Perhaps the same one? Question mark. A reminder that we all need to eat, and nature can be difficult to watch sometimes. Carol, thanks for that note. I am almost positive that the snake that you saw, if your verb whiz is proper, that it wasn't the one that ate the frog, because if you had just swallowed a frog and you were a snake, I think what you would do is curl up in a sunny spot and digest it. I've seen the same thing, and I did the same thing. I just walked away and said, okay, that's how nature works. It's bad for the toad, but good for the snake. So, yeah, nice note. Thanks, Carol, for that. And I got another nice note from a listener, and it's Wanda. And Wanda sent me a lovely picture of a flower that I have not yet identified. It looks like it belongs to the pea family, but Wanda, if you're listening, I sent that photograph off to an expert, and I hope to have an answer for you very soon. Thanks for getting in touch with me. And for any of you out there listening, if you'd like to contribute a report on our Tuesday morning talkback segment, you can do that by sending your recordings to comments@kaxe.org, and we will be thrilled, and we will play them on the air.